two things happened this evening which have a bearing, I think, on what we propose to discuss tonight. But first, the easy camaraderie of Holden makes it possible to talk almost immediately and even intimately with those that you meet. And the forum tonight comes as a consequence of that kind of camaraderie, which makes it easy to converse and to explore the minds and the interests and the ideas of others. Two things happened tonight that have a bearing on what we propose to discuss. One was the delightful presentation of Jack's here, which was a perfect example of the, I would call it, a perfect example of the art of whimsy. A secular art with no overt or specifically described or inferred religious connotation. The second was a passage read by Mary, which could be seen as or could be understood as, let's say, a jubilation of humanness. Not necessarily with any religious connotation. The questions that we propose to consider here tonight are: do we recognize a distinction between what we may call religious and secular in the context of, again, no overt or specific religious connotation? Do we recognize the distinction between religious and secular art? Two, is it appropriate for Holden to provide a home for and perhaps support opportunities in creative work in secular art? And three, if the answer is in the affirmative, how might it be suggested that Holden provide a home for such and support it? I want to read a brief statement, and then I'm going to ask my colleague on the left, Jack, to discuss his ideas. And also, I have asked Tom to participate in terms of a representation of Holden. And then we open it and see if we can come to any conclusion. I would consider the fine arts two broad categories of art. Fine arts, that is, creative accomplishment without inference or purpose except aesthetic expression, and liturgy defined as public worship, or religious art. I would like to point to the example of the rich camera ceiling. I have been able to recognize in that ceiling what I would call a flower image or two, a bird image, and I guess a mountain image. But I think that it really can be looked on as abstract art, and that is with art without any inherent message. I personally don't think there's any inherent message in the ceiling, but of course I realize that the observer may find one in it, and I know that it was the intention of the artist that there be a message in it. But I don't think that the art itself expresses any message, except what you may find in it or what the artist tells you is in there. I had an interesting experience a couple of weeks ago when Sieg Schrader, who has made the beautiful photographs that you will find posted on the wall in the shop, the beautiful photographs of Holden. I became quite well acquainted with Sieg, and we discussed a lot of matters between us. And I had said to Sieg, I think you need a name for your presentation. He had called it, I guess, Holden All Seasons. I think you need something more than that, something which is expressive of the fine work that you have done in photography. I was thinking of the pictorial image. And Sieg said, well, I've thought a lot about that and I can't come up with anything. I said, Sieg, I'm going to make a title for you and I'll bring it to you tomorrow. But I thought about this and went to seek. He said, get a pencil seek. Call it Holden All Seasons, or just Holden, semicolon, a pictorial and musical liturgy. Sieg said, I like that, but the emphasis is in the wrong place. I'm going to make it a musical and liturgical, a musical and pictorial liturgy. If any of you here saw that, you may remember that it was a multimedia mix of pictorial images of Holden in All Seasons and very handsome, fine photography. Not only fine technical photography, but fine imagery. And I mention this only to show how the artist himself may look at his own work and put the message into the work. The message is not inherent in the photographs. I don't think, myself, I don't think there's any message coming out of the mountains. I am moved by what I see in the mountains, but that's my response to the mountains. It's not the message coming out of the mountains. And I think that about a lot of art, the art that I would call secular, again, that has no overt, implied, or specific religious message. Of course, the fine arts may have the form about which I'm speaking, and they may also have content. Obviously, they may also communicate, because there is much religious art, which is great art. Can Holden Village involve itself in something so abstruse as the fine arts? And as a working definition, I'll just define the fine arts, and I will ask for the sake of discussion to accept that as a working definition. Involvement without any religious teaching or guest diverting considerations. Involvement with aesthetic creativity only. For that is what the fine arts is, a creative activity independent of and without offense, I want to say, more universal than any consideration of religious, liturgical purpose. Because, of course, the fine arts extend beyond, not only across, but beyond, let's say, all religions, churches, sects, denominations. If you wish to say, and if you believe, that let's say there is a universal religious art, all right, I can't argue that point. But certainly there is a Christian art, there's an Islamic art, a Judaic art, all of which can be identified as religious. Beyond that is another kind, and that is that which we recognize as the fine arts. And the question again is there a place for the fine arts, irrespective of any religious connotation, in Holden? The risk, of course, in religious art is that the message takes precedence over the aesthetics, and that's all right. If the purpose is the message. And you see that, for example, in the banners hanging over in the village center. There's a message in the banners. The banners are a kind of art, a kind of applied art, not great fine art, but first and foremost in the banners is the message. The aesthetics, if any, come next. It seems to me that the village is consciously aware of the importance of the arts, but that it has not reached a consensus as to the purpose of the arts in it. Is there then a home at Holden for a universal non-religious art? Jack?
I was musing on the fire. You want my response to that?
No. What your view of the matter of that we have talked about privately a bit and.
Well, I was telling Bob that in past times up here, I think it depends kind of when you've been here, what times of the year, and what's been going on, and who's been up here and doing what. I think it's possible to get a one-sided view or one view only of art at Holden. There are times when it seems to me, I remember celebrations of all kinds. There are celebrations of 4th of July, there's Renaissance or whatever, Frodo and Bilbo's birthday, sometimes past has been celebrated in a large way. There are parades, there are readings of Shakespeare, lute music, things up and down the road, crafts. Right now, I'm not trying to distinguish between fine art and applied art or whatever. I'm just trying to think that there have been a lot of things going on, a lot of music, choir, piano, guitar, everything imaginable. And it seems to me that those times have been for their own sake, a music, celebration, parade, banners, painting, cross-stitch, whatever, for its own sake, without any attempt to make it a religious statement of any kind. Now, in the broadest sense, that to me is art for art's sake, without any attempt to be parochial about it. So it seems to me, in my background with Holden, that there is fine art at Holden. There is art for art's sake at Holden. And there's also art in a liturgical or religious sense. So I personally don't have any problem or any tension between those two. I see it both happening here, if I understand what I'm seeing, and I'm not sure, maybe I don't. But I see it as flourishing at Holden in various times. Sometimes you don't see as much of it. Like, if, for example, in the summer, if maybe they've had a lot of celebrations and a lot of activity. Sometimes maybe in the fall or winter, it tends to slow down, become a little more contemplative or whatever. Then you may get a different kind of a picture of it. I don't know, if Tom, if you think that's a fair statement or not.
I asked Tom if he would join in on this as perhaps being able to tell us something about Holden in the past and his present position.
I'd much rather jump in when it after it opens up. I think I do agree with Jack that the fine art has flourished at Holden.
I see Doris. Excuse me.
I'm related to worship, I'll read. There was a proposal that has something to do with this. A proposal that went to the Holden Corporation.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to know about that. You know what that was.
When it fits in at a different time.
You think that's not appropriate right now?
It might focus it too much on something that we don't want to get. I think it should be opened up right now to people.
Doris, you've had some experience in the arts here. What is your point of view about it? How do you look at it?
Most of the sculpture that's done, welding sculpture, was Terry Satin, although he had lots of students.
He did the dancing circuit.
On the altar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a class of anything.
Mm-hmm. No, that was
somebody working here.
He was on staff for many, many years. He's the son, I think, of a...
He's the son of Lilo Saturn, who has some hymns in the LBW and whatnot from Minneapolis.
Well, that's fine, but tell us about the artist himself, who he was and what he did here.
Well, Terry was a man of many, many talents. He's a very young man. He was groping when he was here. He had found himself by the time I knew him. Much of the electrical work that was done around the village in the early days was done by Terry Saturn. Most of the practical welding that was done in the early days here at Holden Village was done by Terry Saturn.
And he himself turned to sculpture, welded sculpture, is that it?
As far as I know, it was all.
Yeah.
It was natural ability. Incidentally, he was responsible for many, many years for the proper operation of the hydro plant.
I had hoped that others would be here who could tell us about the arts at Holden over the past years.
In our experience in the past, we were here in the summers of 69, 70, and 71. I don't remember his years, but I think for a whole year, John Knox's dad, who was a professor of art at St. Olaf College, I spent a sabbatical year here, and he did a lot of painting, and he gave instruction and sketching and all that sort of thing. And others have been here that have taught, carving, wood carving, and others have done, there have been others in painting.
Well, aside, what I would like to suggest is, aside from a teaching activity, look at the creative process itself.
Well, what I wanted to say was that all these people of various kinds of art talent have been here and have done things and have taught, and it's all been a part of the village life without having any real religious connotation. It's
okay.
Been here, at least the way I have seen it, simply expressing and using their God-given gifts for their own expression and for the entertainment and enjoyment of others who have come here. And I'm sure that they have been able to bring out in other people talents which they never knew they had, and have gone away from here enriched by these people with all these various art talents. And I certainly feel, although I don't feel as though I have much talent in the way of art myself, that I have been enriched, greatly enriched, by my associations and observation in these various people who have been here. And I would say that art, for art's sake, definitely has a place to hold it.
That does exist, has existed, and will exist here.
It's
a good place.
I feel so, and I just feel very strongly that it should.
Bob.
We might ask that, I'm sorry, I heard a voice.
Balcony.
What?
Balcony.
2 years ago, Betty Olson.
Oh, Mary, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just,
Betty Olson from Minneapolis painted poppies when they were in bloom, and she had a show in Koinonia. Every space available on the walls was just filled with poppy pictures.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
And she took them back to Minneapolis and had a one-woman show. I think that was her first show, and it was extremely successful. But the beauty of just flooding this place with red poppies in a variety of, you know, buds and open flowers was really great. And then Reinhold, I think his first name is Reinhold Markshausen, who teaches at Lutheran College in Seward, Nebraska.
Yes.
What's his first name?
Markshausen.
Yeah.
Does he call himself Mark?
Yeah, it's a nickname, yeah. It's Reinhold Peepcorn.
Took people up, and he himself, when we go up to watch him, he would go to the old mine and just gather pieces of twisted metal and would make sculptures out, recycled kinds of sculptures. He goes to the dumps and has a liturgy of art in the dumps, and then he would make things that would be under the bell where you'd hold it up to your ear and you'd hear glorious sounds. I mean, people stood there all day listening to pieces of metal. You know, that had no religious significance, but it was a very exciting summer to be here when they were here.
Well, that is, and that surely is today a recognized fine art form, known as junk sculpture, but nothing junk about the creative act or the creative accomplishment. One might ask right now, here in real time, of a creative artist, again back to Jack, how do you find an environment for creativity?
I keep wanting to throw that ball right back. You keep saying the creative artist. I don't want to lay anything on you, but you're the man that's got those paintings up there and that we're bidding on. Why don't you? I'd like to know what you think about that. This is obviously a very accomplished artist here. So you, I won't evade the question, but I'd like to get your feeling.
Then to respond to that honestly, I suppose I have to reveal myself a little bit, and I would have to say I probably am not as strongly religiously oriented as many of the people in the village are. I look at things from the visual, pictorial, aesthetic, secular point of view. I don't expect that there is a spiritual message in what I do, nor do I imply one. That would be my answer, my honest, the best answer to your question, Jack, you see. And here certainly is a place that stimulates that visual impression.
Are we talking about something for a permanent location for art, or a place, a retreat for artists to come to find inspiration? Are we building a museum of art or something of that nature?
Well, we don't really know where this discussion is leading, if it's leading any place at all, and certainly the discussion is under no direction, but that would be a possibility, of course, that somehow a commitment is made for the support of, let's say, the artist in residence or something of the sort.
Can I say
almost without other obligation, yes?
Something along that lines. Peter Hendrickson was up here, and I considered him a real accomplished pianist. And before he'd been up here, he'd been a cook up here, and I asked him how his piano playing went while he was up here. He thought it wasn't that good because he didn't have that much time to practice. So a lot of times it seems like the arts do flourish up at Holden, but it's kind of accidental that they do. It's not that they're encouraged to focus a lot of time on their art. So it seems like if there was an artist in residence program or something like that, people would have more energy to focus on their art rather than having it be a secondary.
You wanted to come up and work here too. You wanted just to stay here.
Well, they could work too, but it just seems that the art is kind of secondary a lot of times because of the social structure that they're in.
May I ask, wasn't Richard Cameron here for a whole year or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He's
not
a multifaceted
sure.
artist.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he leave an impact upon the community?
Sure. Well, to say, John Markstead was here for a whole year with his family and taught in the winter program, I think, some of his art. His wife taught some school, and they had children here in the school. And I know he did a lot of painting when he was here. We had one. He did for us, Tim Aubrey Falls.
But what is left in Holden for somebody else to see?
Speak up, please, so we all hear.
Right up there, the little statue as you go into the
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Markstead's, I'm quite sure.
The two figures in, I don't know where they are right now, but I've seen them since I've been here in the village center of the Joseph and Mary, the two little wood carving figures. Aren't they over there in the village center somewhere? Mm-hmm. They used to.
I haven't seen them.
About yay tall, and he did those by himself down by the.
Well, perhaps, Tom, it might be an appropriate time. Bill, were you?
That these people have left.
Yes, Bill?
Yeah. I haven't quite figured out where this all was leading us. And I suppose there's some reason why I had no problem with any kind of art at the village, having been here for a good number of years, because I think the village accepts the lordship of God over all creation, and that includes art. And we have had in the past, and I went just recently, was a year or so ago, somebody who was up here for a while and really felt that the village wasn't given his particular emphasis in art, enough attention and so forth. Well, I don't think he quite captured the spirit of the village as far as his contribution was concerned. The village was concentrating on the whole explication of the gospel, living it out and so forth, and he was trying to make it an artist thing for him, which is all right. But I have a feeling that anything in any art field that inherently, well, you don't even notice it, but inherently is an expression of the gifts that God has given mankind. That this is has a rightful place in holding. Doesn't have to be religious art, it can be secular art. I have no problem with that at all. Because I believe in the Lordship of God, the Creator, as well as Redeemer. And the whole world comes in His hand and under His hand. Any artist can express in any way his reaction to that spirit in him. And you can push it a little bit further and say, well, that can be religious, but it looks secular. I don't know where this is leading, but and I'm interested in this, the word lead, but I don't think the Holder would have any problem with it.
Yes.
I read once that education was supposed to make us artists, and all of our lives are kind of, you know, we're making our lives. And I like the title of Mother Teresa's book, Something Beautiful for God. We should make our lives something beautiful for God. And if Holden can teach us how to do that.
Well, don't we all recognize that we would like to live creative lives? And some of us interpret what is meant by creative life differently from the interpretation of that offered by others. Some live great creative lives in politics. That surely is not ungodly. And I think what you say is apt and appropriate. How to live a truly creative life. Well, I think we're talking about something a little bit different than that. That is, let's say, a particular product of creativity. And maybe, Tom, you might, unless you wish to defer to Mary, who is here, describe what Holden had in mind or what it proposed about Lucerne or... I think that might be of interest to those that don't know about that, and I don't know very much about that myself. Mary, are you there? Could I defer to you?
I just want to know about the Lucerne concept in relation to art.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think the only art thing that was suggested of Christians who would live down there would support themselves through art forms such as boat building, clock building, pottery, paper making, print making, or whatever, that it would be a creative center for the arts, but there would also be a lot of other things involved.
Yeah, that was really just a part of it. The total community down there was to be representative of the total community in life, which includes art, but also includes a lot of other things. We had proposals for demonstrations of agriculture, as well as agriculture, nature trails, all this kind of stuff that was down there. And, I think the proposal was to help the public community as it came into that area get a little bit deeper appreciation of what can be done by a man if he's in. By mankind, if mankind is in tune with his or her environment.
Yes?
I think two problems that I see. One that Gary mentioned. Holden has all, before we came here, we understood that arts and craft work was to be in the afternoon. It was never to run opposite biblical studies, ethics, whatever went on in the morning. That's kind of been a policy. So in a sense, the fine arts have taken second place at Holden. That was by design, because this was meant to be a center for theological reflection. On the other hand, Holden wanted to emphasize that we're all gifted and to pick out just some people, Gary, and say you don't have to be on this team because you have a specific gift that you should be working on. I'd like to say to Tom, you know, I think you ought to stop printing and whatever you're doing and compose because you're a very good composer. But then what does that say to other people who have gifts in other ways? So I think we don't have a policy that I know of. I'd be interested in what the corporation was talking about. And what you said about, you know, where are those statues? That is just so, it happens time and time again at Holden. Art gets lost up here. We don't have a decent place to display it. We've had some beautiful sculptures and paintings left, and artists finally get disgusted and say, you know, if it's going to be treated like this or stuck up on the apron of the stage or something, we're going to take it home. And then I can understand why they do, because when you have it all run by volunteers and people come through and don't have the same respect for things, and we don't have a good place to display art, it just, many times, we're not good stewards of what we do have, and it really is bothersome.
I think one exception of what you're saying is that we do have a village potter all year round who does teaching, but there is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they do have time to just create pottery and do their own thing. And that's a full-time job.
It's all more, I'm the village potter. And part of the joy of being the village potter is that I don't have to do it at home in a corner by myself with just me and the clay, me and the kiln to talk to be inspired by. But part of my inspiration comes from listening to John really rattle my cage about a particular thing, or to have Jack make me giggle about Bilbo. I guess I'm disturbed by the insistence on division between secular art and religious art, because my life doesn't, I don't live my life that way. I find myself to be a worshiping person and an artist. I find myself to be able to do them in the same life. And that they don't easily separate. I don't come in two pieces. You get me all at once. And that life at Holden in that way is, it's the community, the people of God, doing the things that God has given them to do, and that we are invited to do them with as much love and care and creativity as we can. I really try to do Dish Team creatively, that it can be a lot of fun, a real exciting time to interact with people and play pots and pans and smash things around and drop plates, which I did today, and that all of those things are good and joyful ways to participate as a member of the people of God.
That's a fine statement, and you find it an inspiring environment.
Yes,
and
I do.
I'm sorry, I haven't talked with you before, but we fell into a little conversation here before the forum started, and you are doing what?
Ceramics and music, I guess. My main interest. I do find an inspiring environment. I just think it could be a more inspiring environment.
In what way would you care to suggest?
Well, he mentioned Christy, and Christy's been making ceramics most of the summer. Most of her job has been to put ceramics in the store for sale to the public, so it seems like, in a way, the ceramics are still functional and that they're supposed to be sold. So the emphasis isn't really on the art for the art's sake.
Nobody has ever said a word to me about what anything I've made is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
The word is, Christie's work is functional. What I make is functional. But to defer to Mary, it's not my feeling that anybody has come down and said, if you don't come up with the mugs we don't have to sell this week because we've run out, you're out of your ear.
Gary, I'm going to sound very defensive, but Christy's main position was to teach other people how to pot. If she produced anything at all that she wanted to put in the store, that was completely secondary. And for most of the summer, she didn't put anything in the store. So I think
she spent most of the summer making things for the store. That was her the most of her energy.
Well, that, you know, I didn't understand how this could be.
Jack, you have been unusually quiet here.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon. But anyway, there have been some things on which you might comment, and you might very well comment on the comments of Bill over here and others, too.
Well, let me, all right, there's a comment you must have. First of all, I'm hearing what Gary says and Steve and Mary and it seems to me, any discussion you have, whether it be on theology, the arts, or how to build a fire, or whatever, it'll go in a million directions. If there are a million people, if there are 10 people, it'll go at least 10 directions. Everything is full of tension and paradox. I am one of the artists whose creations found its way into an undesirable spot, in my opinion, in Holden. Mary was maybe not talking about me, but several years ago, there used to be a little arc welding unit up on the first level, and I'd take guests up there and show them how to make crosses out of nails and drill bits that used to be up there. And one summer, her brokering and I must have taken 200 guests up there when they all had crosses. So then I found some old horns from the mine. They used to blare out in danger and some other things, and I made a sculpture about this big with two horns and some other metal going around, and I thought, a very heavy thing, and Mike Beaver, who used to be, was that his first name? Mm-hmm. Mike gave me some letters of proclamation. Welded those letters on there. And for a long time, it was on the piano in the dining hall and then maybe on one of the shelves. And my son was up here last summer, and he said, Dad, guess where your sculpture is? It's in Wes's pool hall emporium with a sign on it, this thing worth $50,000. Well, there's paradox for you. I set a great store by that, and I knew some of my students were coming up here last January on interim, so I wrote a letter to Jim Fish, and I said, Jim, I understand my sculpture's in the pool hall. Things have a habit of getting broken or knocked over down there because there's a lot of activity, and that's fine, but it's probably not the place for this particular sculpture. So I said, if Holden doesn't want it, give it one of my students and he'll bring it back. Or if you do want it, see if you can put it in a spot, then it won't get damaged. Well, it came back to me. Now, I could interpret that as lack of communication, that Jim or somebody thought maybe I wanted it more than I did, or they didn't want it. But if you get tied up in those kinds of knots, you go crazy. I just assumed the best part, that somebody misunderstood it, thought I wanted it so badly I couldn't live without it. I almost brought it up this time, and I didn't, because I brought up 18 million trunks of stuff anyway to work with. So eventually I'm going to bring that sculpture back and hopefully find a place in here or somewhere, because I think it's kind of a nice work, and it's my contribution to Holden. All right, that's one thing. Now, I'm on sabbatical up here as a writer, a poet, and doer of things, and I could have gone anywhere. I've been a lot of places to do my sabbatical. I chose to come up here. I wasn't bent out of shape because my sculpture found its way down in Wes's pool hall. I think it's a terrible place for my sculpture. I spent a week with Rich Kammerer at his Grange in Plain, Washington before we came up here, and Rich said, if you see anything of mine in Wes's pool hall, take it down. I don't want to do it. But that doesn't speak for your entire response to Holden as a place of inspiration or a place to work. It just means for that particular moment, at that particular place, it's like anything else. A preacher can have this or a plumber can do this. You just can't get too tangled up in those things, I think. I find Holden a very creative place to be. It jars me in lots of ways that Thousand Oaks does not, or Seward, Nebraska, or Greenville, Illinois, or Hong Kong International School, where I worked, or wherever. This tends to stimulate me. That's why I like to be here. You have built-in people to do plays with. You can write songs for people. You have a chance to preach if you want to preach. You can junk sculpt. I brought 30 students up here in January 1979 with three other teachers from CLC,
15 students from PLU and 15 from CLC, and I think one girl from Augustana in South Dakota. And for a whole month, we did art. Jung sculpted, John Solom taught them drawing. Carl Swanson did music. They had to create their own musical instruments. We did everything, reading, writing, and we flooded this whole Koinonia at the end of our creativity fair at the end of January with a ton of stuff, some of which was theologically or religiously oriented, I guess, and most of which was not. So I don't know if that's a long-winded answer to your question. I'm not sure I answered it. But I find Holden a very stimulating place to be because of Dish Team, because of, I don't even like Dish Team, but it's stimulating. You're doing stuff. You're listening to people. I talk to people. I get response back. I teach. I've been teaching for 23 years. I never get the response that I get up here. People are interested. They jab you. They contradict you, or they add things. They have input. All that is stimulating for an artist, and so I find this a very good place to be. And I must admit, I never worry about art, whether it's functional, applied, religious, or fine art. To me, art is art.
Does the constant flow of people through help or hinder, you think?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that today for some silly reason. It popped in my mind that you could... This is what I was thinking about. I don't know if it's answered or not. You do a session or a week's full of session, and the guests leave, and then new people come back, and you think, should I repeat those sessions? They've heard me 100 times, but they haven't. So you find yourself saying things to different people, and sometimes that can get to be a little hangout. You hear yourself talk, but you do that if you're a teacher all the time anyway. Hmm. But the thing that struck me odd is that you can come up here and do your thing, whether it be poetry or music or ceramics or whatever. And then all of a sudden, a week later, nobody knows you anymore. And what did you say? Oh, gee, I've got to go out and do that and prove myself again and recapture and prove to them I'm as good now as I was for the group who loved me from Iowa. And you could get, it's kind of easy to get caught up in that. And that's deadly. That's a deadly game, because then you're not making art. You're just kind of building your ego a little bit stronger. But it's probably normal, probably natural. I think artists are like anybody else. They tend to do, they want to keep communicating and keep communicating. So that's a bad thing to try to do. On the other hand, the good part of it keeps you stimulated to keep producing. So before you know it, a month or 5 months have gone by, and you've created a bunch of stuff, no matter what the reason. It's almost, it reminded me of Mary's Vespers a little bit, that you find maybe for negative things, but good things have come out of it that you hadn't planned on. I probably didn't answer that, did I?
Oh,
you give the good news, the bad news.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
We haven't heard from one of the most important of the arts, maybe the most important, and certainly, in my opinion, the most abstract, and that's music. And I wonder, Mrs. Nelson, would you comment?
What I could say about music at Holden Village? Not very much. As you were talking, Jack, about, you know, the people coming and going, I was thinking too that in a way I feel there are kind of two worlds here, the world of the people that are here for a longer time and then this world of people coming and going. And I don't know how long you have to be here before you feel a part of the world that's here.
3 days.
Well, okay, or to kind of get in on all the family jokes and to...
Of course, you have to do dish duty one of those 3 days.
Well, okay. I don't know. I suppose music, in a way, is a personal creative art too, and you can express it alone, or you can express it with others, for others.
Yes.
Do you feel there should be more of it, Mary? Than you have experienced in these 2 weeks. We've been here the same time.
Well, in a way, music is hard that way, because music is the thing that you have to do together. If you sing, you need an accompanist, and you don't always find one that you can feel with right away. If you play an instrument, maybe you need someone to play with you. And when you sing in a choir, you know, you can sing in a choir once with one practice of 45 minutes, but it has a whole different feeling and everything, if you sing with the choir that you've rehearsed with many times and you feel together and you breathe together and you think together and you know that you feel the director and you feel a part of the group. To me, it's kind of a one-night stand music type thing. You know, one guy does this, and the next guy plays this instrument, and another guy does this, and it's all stimulating and beautiful individually, but it just feels a little disjointed.
What direction would you give to it if you had that opportunity?
I don't know. But it, you know, it has to be something to me with a longer duration, a longer living together. Art, you can paint and someone can look at it and there's kind of a silent communication, and poetry you read and music too, I guess, but to do music, I think, is...
You're speaking now as music as a performing art, or music as a creative act, the composition of music.
I guess it's more on the performing.
As a performing art and the problems of performing. Yes.
To me, Holden is a place where you shape people. I think the arts that are in Holden have been a major influence in shaping people. I think that is what the thrust of Holden should be, and what the thrust of art in Holden should be. I fail to see where Holden should be, shall we say, the King of Prussia having various artists in residence doing this, that, and the other thing. I don't believe that Holden can assume that position.
Well, that's a precise statement, and you would suggest that Holden has a defined mission, a mission that can be defined, and stay with that mission.
That would be my...
Yes.
It has done
yes.
such a tremendous job, as far as I can see, in the 20 years of its existence, in doing that job. I think that's the job Holden should continue to do. I think it should encourage all kinds of art, because it can shape people. I mean, it has shaped me. I'm an engineer, and I have a little bit of concept for the fine arts. I think I acquired some of it here through some of the various artists that I had the privilege of associating with.
I think that's well stated. I hadn't thought of art that way in terms of the shaping of the individual. I would accept that myself. Yes, so Doris?
Well, this problem of what to do with art and what happens to it.
Doris, can you speak up a little louder, please? Come up.
This problem of the art that's being produced here and what to do with it and so on has been troubling me the last few days, because several times in the last couple of years people have left art to be finished or something and it's for the village to enjoy. So what do you do with it? You know, who decides what's to be put on the walls and where it's to be hung? I don't think any one person should. There should be probably a group of people, but it's, again, such a transient community. How do you set up a jury or something like that who decides what's to be on the walls here, what's to be left? You could collect an awful lot of stuff here, and there's no place to put it.
Well, you have a long time familiarity with Holden, and a responsible familiarity with Holden. Make a recommendation. If some role in the arts, and it seems to be the case, is appropriate to the mission, make a recommendation.
I'll make one, and this
this is hard because I'm not an artist, really.
Well, you're a great performer on that piano.
I'm certainly not into visual art, but I agree with Julie Hain, who is an artist, a painter, and she comes up here a lot, and she teaches, and she will paint and produce things, but she will never leave anything at Holden. And I think that you should have that attitude that you will never leave anything that you produce at Holden, or if you do leave it, you will accept whatever Holden does with it, because Holden's a community that changes when you leave. And when you're here, if it's prominent in the village, that's great. And in 3 months, somebody else comes, and then something else is prominent. Your thing may be in the pool hall, or it might be locked, but that's Holden. We don't have a gallery. And that's happened to a lot of people. Rich Kemper's done stuff that he's given to the village that in the middle of the winter, the community doesn't feel like that's a prominent thing, and it hasn't taken, and other times it has.
And not necessarily bad.
No, I don't think so at all. I just think that's Holden. And you have to accept that, because Holden is a community. It's not an art gallery.
I'm very strong. My feeling is that art can have a place in people's lives if it isn't so high on a pedestal that we can't take it home with us. What I've done here has been to produce things that I hope people will take home and use and live with and enjoy as something that is a part of their life, rather than something that you take off a shelf and admire every so often and then put it back to gather dust, whether it's dust in the pool hall or anywhere else. And in the same way that my talking about art with people in the pot shop is something that they take home with them. I can't keep it. I can't preserve it. But it becomes a part of their lives. A chance to work with a piece of clay is an invitation to explore what they can do visually and aesthetically. And that seems to me a lot of what I can bring to Holden. And I have to leave it. I can't take it back, and I can't preserve it in any meaningful way, especially clay. If you use it, you risk busting it.
But not everything is made to be taken home and fitted into your home. There are lots of other problems. There are things like that big mural that the whole village made last summer that's sitting and waiting to be finished. Who decides what's to happen to it? It's a shame that it's just sitting there. Maybe if the village doesn't want it, there ought to be a commission that decides that this can be given to a church or someone who would like it.
I guess I'm saying I'm not sure I'm uncomfortable with just throwing it into the void.
No, I understand that. Perhaps what is important at Holden is the creative act and not the created product. And I think one might give some thought to that. And I think that's how you have expressed it. The creative act, the transmission of the feeling of creativity to another. And not the product, the least important thing at Holden, not necessarily the least important thing in another environment.
I think this relationship with people is so important too. For instance, up in our chalet, in the bedroom, there are a couple of watercolors taped on the wall. And I've looked at them, and they're okay. I don't know if they're great or they're bad, or they were done by a teenager or an artist or someone who was his first picture or, a great work of art. So those pictures don't say much to me. But looking at your pictures, that picture says more to me because I know something about you as a person. And Jack's poetry in the bookstore, I've picked up lots of books and looked at them and so on, but because I know him, I was more interested in the poetry. And if I took home a coffee mug that Steve made, I think it would mean more to me than just any old thing in the book.
You have to throw out the ones you can.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, relationships with people and the things that they produce are, you know, important too.
Surely, of course, that matter of identification, but Tom, you tell me about timetable here.
What time is it now?
What's that?
9:30.
So it's cut off time?
When is cut off? I don't know. I forgot. It's
9:10.
Okay, you've got about 10 minutes.
I just, after listening to some of the other things that have been said, just to, I don't know whether I should say comfort Claudia a bit on music angle, but from my experience in years past here with Beanie Lundholm, Phil Brunel, Jerry Evanrude, some of these other people who have been here in music, we've done some great things together, and maybe they were one-night stands, so to speak, but I'm sure that a lot of people who sang in the choirs and did various other little things here found out by doing these things, maybe only once or maybe every day for a week, when they were here, that they had talents they never knew they had,
right.
And probably went home and joined their own church choirs or some community group and to play an instrument or whatever. And I think you can make a great contribution in music, even though you yourself may not get that much satisfaction out of a well-done performance. And yet, you, by sharing your talents, have given something and inspired someone else to do something with gifts that they have that maybe they didn't know they had.
I'm always amazed at that choir selection.
Yes.
It always turns out real well.
Yeah.
Every Sunday night.
It was tremendous last Sunday.
It was.
Tremendous.
And you probably weren't satisfied with it at all as being a well-performed thing, but
no, it was
the rest of us, it really was well done. And I'm sure the folks who were in that choir thoroughly enjoyed it. And you must have had some people there that didn't have that much choir experience, but you really got a thrill out of doing it.
Well, that's a nice concept, because it could be stated that part of the mission is the transmission of the spirit of creativity.
Yes, absolutely.
Not only the creativity itself, but the transmission of the spirit of creativity at whole. That's good. That's good.
Add a word here. I'm not an artist. I'm an insurance salesman. But I like art. And the first thing I noticed when I got off the bus was that metal sculpture there. Well, this looked real nice. Second point I wanted to make was that, boy, I see a lot of empty walls around here. I was just wondering what would happen if I brought my wood carving tools up here and did something and then all by myself went and nailed it to the wall right up here. What would happen?
It stayed there quite a while.
End up in the pool hall, naturally.
I see lots of evidence of the art around that curtain
macrame,
over there. And
macrame.
And gee, it looks great.
I would like to suggest that somehow management, either management in total, create an ad hoc committee to study and study the question of art at Holden, and maybe come up with some kind of a plan which might encompass an exhibition gallery and a permanent committee to oversee this sort of a thing that seemed to bother so many people.
Bill, would you have any comment on that?
Yeah. My comments would be negative.
Yeah.
We had the same question come up, and it comes up every so often in board meetings and whatnot, about establishing a separate worship center.
Yeah.
All of life is worship here, including the art. And I personally don't feel that, well, we have discussed the kind of thing in the various meetings we've had, too, and to single out one aspect of life and kind of make a fetish out of it, and that's what it amounts to, is making a fetish out of it. I hate to say it that way, but that's the way I look at it. Rather than keeping the total spirit of the community, which offers an opportunity for everything to happen. I appreciate your suggestion and all that, but it would mitigate against the spirit that has been part of Holden for the last 20 years. And it's a thing that's really made Holden happen, is that you can happen up here. You don't have to be labeled by any particular label, but you can do your thing as you want to. And somehow the whole spirit gets a hold of you and you come up with something, and boy, people say, hey, that looks great. Well, that's just been your kind of a little peanut contribution to the whole thing. But nevertheless, it contributes to the, it's part of the puzzle, so shall we say, that is Holden, but it's a picture that goes, that part that makes the whole thing operable and leaves its impact on both the staff and the guests that come into the village. Any guest has the same opportunity as staff or anybody else around here to be creative. And it has happened.
And if we place too much emphasis on the creativity, there are many of us that can't create and or feel that we can't. And so therefore, we're going to sit back and let the others take over. And I don't think that's what Holden is meant to be.
Yeah, but we enjoy their efforts and all that trying right down here with the drink pump, you know. I look at that. Somebody loved this place enough to take the effort and the time and the talent to take a chainsaw out of that thing and make something that's really nice.
About time we got a new one, though. That one's wearing out. How about you? You're working out there making a new drink.
I guess if there's anything that bothers me about this business is that it seems as though there ought to be more evidences of all the beautiful things that have been made around here visible. Mm-hmm. Now this place used to be lined with paintings and macrames and sculptures and all kinds of things, and I don't know where they've all gone. Because there used to be lots of them around, and now they've just disappeared. And that seems sort of too bad. It seems though they ought to be around at least until the place gets full enough so there isn't any room, and then maybe have to do a little selecting. But that seems a little bit of a shame to me, that some of these things, the beautiful things, have just kind of disappeared.
Mary, are you still upstairs?
No, she's not.
But I that's the point I was trying to make about Holden as community. Maybe it's from spending winters here, but I sense it much more as community and holding being the people who are there now. And if someone made something this week that everyone liked, it would go up. But 3 months from now, it might not be up, and I think that's okay for holding to change like that. A group of people in the winter may not like things on the wall, so things aren't on the wall, and the next winter there might be tons of things on the wall, and it just changes because it changes with the people who are here. And I think if you're an artist and your art is precious to you and you're concerned about where it goes, and you shouldn't leave it at Holden because it's not the right place to produce something like that. There are things that have stayed around, I think that's great too, but
well, I'm not so concerned about the person who made them as we folks who come in, and we like to see some examples of things that have been going on here, and it's barren. It's gone.
Well, it was great. There's a whole bunch of stuff. You just came at the wrong time, guys.
Well, yeah, but what's happened to it?
Well, the time has come, and we should terminate this. And whether or not we've come to any conclusion, collective conclusion, we've come to some private conclusions, no doubt. Thank you all.